I hope that there's been an intention in all, you know that there's an intention in all of this that's bigger than ourselves. Because God's reading your mail. God knows how to read our mail. He knows how to speak into our circumstances like no other, and that's how we know that He's real. That's how we know that we know. Because there's no other way for it to be possible for something to speak into our hearts except by God. Amen? Amen. You may be seated, guys. Don't cry. Thank you. Can we thank the worship team and the wonderful work that they do? I love the investment that is made to do stuff like that. It's not a simple matter of just, what songs do I like to sing? Good to have you all in church this morning. My name's Andrew. And God has definitely got something on His heart to share with you guys. And Matt's touched on it. Carrie's touched on it. And I'm going to frame it out now. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Genesis chapter 37. And I'm going to talk about one of my sort of favorite characters in the Bible, which is Joseph. How many of you know the story of Joseph? Yeah? Great story. You know, Technicolor dream coat, you know, all that sort of stuff. We're going to sort of move past that particular stage, and this will be nothing like the play, if you've seen that, whatever, you know, the theater play. Maybe that's like, anyway. The title of my message this morning is When Life is Interrupted. Who likes to be interrupted? Yeah? Yeah. Oh, exactly. You'd happily be interrupted. But what happens when things are going great and life gets interrupted by something you weren't expecting and not something that you feel like you deserve? What do you do with that? Joseph is a story just like that, you know. At this stage of life, Joseph is about 17 years old. He is highly favored by his father, which is why he's got a cool coat and his brothers don't. He's had crazy dreams of grandeur that God has given to him about him ruling over his family. Now, what brother and sister would ever want to hear their brother say that? Right? None. One day you'll bow down to me. And I saw it in a dream. You know? Now, his brothers didn't just dislike him. His brothers actually hated him. And it wasn't just like hate. It's like, I hate you enough to kill you. Hate. Which is pretty severe, right? But Joseph gets asked by his dad to go and bring some food to his brothers and stuff like that. And you can imagine 17-year-old happy Joseph, who is loved by his father. And he probably thought his brothers loved him too. And his dad finally asks him this big responsibility of going and bringing some stuff to his brother. He's like, yes. In verse 12 of chapter 37, we hear Joseph, when he's asked to go do this, he's like, yes, I'd love to go do this. I'm so excited. He's probably really proud to be asked. And so he's on a high going into this. And I suppose I want to paint this picture that sometimes in life, we think we're doing everything pretty good. You know, we're making good choices. Things are good. Life is good. You know, maybe we've been through some stuff, but things seem to be going well. And that's exactly where Joseph was. But his entire world was about to get throttled, like totally changed, outside of his own control. And I think it's important to recognize, now sometimes we get into bad situations because we make silly choices, yes? That's not what I'm talking about. Okay, if we get into bad places because of our poor choices, that's on us. I'm talking about when things are going great and then our whole world gets turned upside down. What do we do with that? Joseph was 17 years old and about to be put in this position that would have really challenged anyone in the room, no matter how old you are, yes? Goes to bring some food to his brothers, finally finds them, and he's like, I just sort of imagine him sort of, hey, brothers, what's up? I finally get to come see you, and they're plotting to kill him. Literally. We hate him. Here comes Joseph. We don't like him very much. We're going to throw him in a pit, not to just die from hitting the bottom, but we're happy to know that he starves to death. That's a deep hatred, yes? Would you ever do that to a family member? I hope not, but if that's what you're struggling with, you can talk to me after, okay? Because that's something seriously wrong. But that's how much they didn't like him. So they didn't nicely lower him into the pit. They threw him in a hole. And however he lands, they don't care. And we're going to walk away and let him starve to death. What an awful thing. But then Judah the kind, if you read the story, Judah the kind says, what does it profit us to let our brother die? Let's sell him. At least let's make some money out of this, right? So they sell him. So Joseph's got all these great dreams. He's doing everything right, and his whole world changes. I am sure that everybody in this room has a story about when your whole life was arrested or stopped and everything changed, yeah? Something unexpected, something you weren't planning on. It happens to all of us, and if you're in a great season right now, something's coming. That's not a prophetic word. That's just life and the journey that God has us on. Now, how many of you know the story of Joseph, that the dreams were true? Yeah? If you've read the whole story, you see that one day Joseph is in the palace and his brothers bow down to him. Yes? So the dreams are from God. But no one would have picked the path. And here's what I want to focus on today, because if you believe in God's plans for your life, as much as you will try, you cannot pick the path. You don't get to write the story. Oh, yeah? You don't get to write the chapters of the book. That's up to God, yes? He's the author and the finisher of our faith. That's actually scripture. But have you ever thought about God with a pencil or a pen in his hand writing the chapters of your life? Or are you holding the pen? Right? It's something to think about, because I think sometimes when things are not going the way we think they should, we almost say, God, you know, I think I know how this should be going. Let's just read through back over the, you know, the promises, all that sort of stuff. I think this should be looking better. If you want me to just take the pen for a while, and I'll write a few pages, right? That never usually pans out very well. I'm just saying, read the Bible. Trust the author. All right? So Joseph is sold as a slave. Now, his brothers would have absolutely believed they would never see their brother again. Yes? They believed it so much that they told their father that he was dead. All right? So this was, you're as good as dead to us. See you later. Arrivederci. Maybe I'll get a cool coat. You know, I don't know. I don't know what they were hoping to get out of this, but at least they didn't have to listen to Joseph anymore. He gets sold into slavery. So what would you do at 17 if you became a slave? How much would you love Jesus? Your ways are high. You know, like, would you be singing that? I don't think so. Right? It's hard to believe that you'd be singing the songs, right? We like to think that we would, you know, but I'm not sure about that. But he's 17 years old, and he's put in this position now where he has got to live out his convictions in the light of terrible circumstances and believe that God was working something out. And that's hard to believe when things are not great. It's because we can't see it, right? How is it possible for me to get from here to there, all right? How it seems unfathomable, or I can't imagine how I could get from where I am to where I believe God wants me to be. And yet, we have stories like Joseph. We see it repeatedly in the Bible. How God takes a person from where they are to exactly where he wants them to be. But the journey is never one we'd pick. Here's one thing I know for sure. There's no easy journey to God's promises. Does anyone know who David Livingstone is? Yeah, who's David Livingstone? He was an awesome missionary as he went into Africa. Englishman. He gets a letter one day while he's in Africa from a man who says, I believe I want to come join you on the mission field, all that sort of stuff. He says, what's the easiest way to get there? David Livingstone wrote him a letter back that said, there is no easy way to get here. Don't come. He said, oh, that's so rude. How rude. The reality is there's no easy way to get to where God wants you to be. Why? Because there's no way to learn what he needs you to learn in order to be who you need to be when you get there. There is no easy way to learn that stuff. You don't learn that stuff singing songs on Sunday morning with everybody else singing behind you. That's not where you grow. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Andrew. This is so powerful. Thank you for speaking this over. It's the truth. We all know this. It takes trials and tests for us to become who God wants us to be. Okay, thank you. Oh, amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you. Thank you. I'm so glad you're on the same page with me. I know we don't like to hear this stuff. I don't like trials. I don't like tests. But I get James and what he said, that you can count it pure joy when trials come. Because he understood something. And this is what I want you to understand, because I don't know what you're going through either, but I want you to know that God has a reason. Amen. There's a reason. It might be really hard to see, or maybe you can't see it at all, but I can promise you that there is a reason for what you're going through, and it will not last always. There's a great reason why in Ecclesiastes Solomon writes about seasons. What do we know about seasons? They come and then they go. Whatever you're in is not perpetual unless you choose to stay in it. Yes? Unless you choose to stay in the season. Now, here's what I mean. I'll use the story of Joseph. Imagine Joseph gets in a real funk about where he's at in life. 17 years old. I don't deserve this. God, I love you. God, I've been trying to do my thing. Now I'm a slave in some guy named Potiphar's house, whoever that is. I'm angry. I'm not happy. Imagine he gets an attitude. He says, fine, I'll be here. I have no choice. I got to work. Fine, I'll do the bare minimum. I can tell you this. If that's how Joseph approached the next years of his life, it would say, and Joseph died a slave. Not because that was God's plan, but because that was his choice. God never designed Joseph to be a slave, but he knew he had to learn things you can only learn as a slave. Crazy, right? It's true, though. Now Joseph is in a totally uncomfortable circumstance in a foreign place, because guess what? He's going to make Joseph a ruler in a foreign land. And this is his training ground. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you begin to unpack the story, you see, in hindsight, I get it. I can understand if I look back now over Joseph, I get it. But here's what you don't get in life. You don't get an answer to the why question when you're in it. And yet we ask all the time, God, why? God, why me? God, why this? God, what have I done? God, do you hate me? God, are you punishing me? God, why hast thou forsaken me? Blah, 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 blah. You're asking the wrong question. It was only later, when his brothers were bowed down before him, when he had all of the power of Egypt at his disposal, did Joseph come to realize what you intended for evil, God intended for good. Now he could really do something to them, yes? Like, you threw me in a hole? Oh, man. And yet he chose grace because he learned grace. Grace is a lesson you must learn. It's not something that happens here at the altar. To serve is something you must learn. Gratitude is something you must learn. And the only way to learn these lessons, peace, you talk about peace that passes all understanding, is a lesson you must learn. And how do you learn about peace? Not when you're looking at photos on the internet of calm waters. Oh, I'm downloading this, God. Hallelujah. I'm learning peace. Yes. You learn about peace in the midst of the storm. That's when peace becomes not an idea, not a nice thing to sing about, but a reality for you. Because it's beyond what you see. And this is the story of Joseph. He goes on this journey. And again, this is what I love, the takeaway. One of Joseph's takeaways is he's in Potiphar's house and he's doing a great job. If you choose, and this is, I'm going to preach about this next week, God will only ever expect you to use what's in your hand. Not something you don't have, just everything you do. But here you have Joseph. He doesn't have an attitude problem. In fact, he just says, I'm going to be the best servant I can be. And it says that the favor of the Lord was upon him as a slave. It doesn't say the favor of the Lord was upon Joseph and he redeemed him and got him straight out of there. It says that the favor of the Lord and he promoted him as a slave to the highest position in Potiphar's house. And guess what? He's having another 17-year-old moment. Everything's great. Life is great. I've made a life for myself. I'm highly favored. Da-da-da-da-da. Bam! You're in prison. What? What? For what? What have I done? Do you understand that he, again, this was a perfect opportunity for him to just say, you know what, God? I'm not going to do this anymore. You want to put me in prison? I didn't deserve this. I was doing my very absolute best. Instead, he chooses to be the best prisoner he can be, however you do that. And it says that the favor of the Lord was upon him. And he was promoted to the highest place in the prison. Do you see the pattern? Yes? If we want to live a life that God is calling us to, it's not about smooth sailing all the time. It's about making the right choices in the toughest moments. That's what it's about. It's about, yeah, I'm in circumstances. Yeah, I know that things are not great, all that sort of stuff. But I'm still going to choose to believe in faith because I can't see it, that God is greater, he's bigger than this, that he's got a plan for my life, and I'm going to hold on tight. to that. That's tough. All right? That is so, so hard. And everyone knows that. It sounds nice. It sounds like, oh, yes, amen, yes. But when the wham comes, it's hard. Those unexpected things, especially because it often happens when we think, you know, I'm traveling all right. It's not punishment. I haven't done something bad. That can't be the why. So there must be another why. Here's the thing. We have a plan of where we want to go. God has a plan of where you need to go. All right, we have a plan of where we want to go, but God has a plan for where we need to go. You see, He knows you were born on purpose because He has a purpose for you. His intention for your life is to get you there. Yes? Does that sound great? Yeah, it sounds nice, yes. It doesn't feel nice, though. So what we want is to feel great. That's our base desire, is to feel great. I want to feel good. I want things to be awesome. I got a message, I don't know, 4 nights ago during the night, because it came from Canada. A very good friend of our family's had a brain aneurysm. This lady, I know for sure, has been covering me and my family in prayer for years. She is an intercessor. I love this lady. And she has a brain aneurysm. My mother and her are very good friends. They were hanging out all day Saturday, not a care in the world. 2 or 3 days later, in hospital, not going to make it. What do you do with that? What do you do with moments like that? We have to find something inside of ourselves to believe that God's still good. Do you believe that? It's one thing to sing about it, and sometimes singing about it helps to reinforce in our hearts, but do we really believe that God's still good when the circumstances that we're in don't make sense? And we can't see where this all goes. Do we believe that God is more than able? Do we believe that God has overcome? Do we believe that we know the end of the story is that we win? But I don't feel like I'm winning, and I certainly don't see it. This is the challenge of our faith. When we find ourselves in circumstances like this, and God's promise to you is, I am taking you somewhere. You have to trust me. I am taking you somewhere. I have an ultimate plan. I already see the outcome. I know where this goes. You have to trust me. You have to be great where you are. No matter what you're going through, you have to choose to be great. You have to choose to have peace and joy and kindness and mercy and grace where you are. And believe that I'm taking you somewhere. Joseph always believed. We never hear a prayer come out of Joseph, rescue me from here. Or God, I don't understand you. Or God, why have you abandoned me? Joseph never prayed those prayers. He just made good choices. He made great choices. And the favor of the Lord never departed from him, no matter what circumstances he was in. Now, how many of us want to have the favor of the Lord on us? Who notices the favor of the Lord in your life? Who notices it most? Not you. Everyone else. Right? Because it doesn't make any sense to them. Don't you know you're a slave in Potiphar's house? Yep. Don't you know you're a prisoner? Yep. But everyone noticed that the favor of the Lord was upon him. And he was always promoted through the ranks. You see, the fruit of your faith and convictions is noticeable by everyone else. If we're the ones that whine the loudest, they don't see Jesus in your life. And please, I am not pointing any fingers, because we've all whinged. Yes, we've all done it. But God puts this challenge in front of us to say, do you trust me to take you where you need to go? Do you trust me to believe in the dreams even though you can't see it? Even though it's actually impossible for you to get from where you are to where I want you to be, or where I need you to be. There's no way that Joseph has this delusion while he's in prison. No, one day someone's going to knock on the door and I'm going to be prince. I can't wait. This is not what's happening in prison. Do you understand that? Joseph is not deluded. He doesn't know how that's going to happen. How do you go from being a prisoner, someone that has no value in the eyes of the society that you're in, zero value, how do you go from there to prince? And yet, it literally happened in the matter of an hour. One day, when everything in its right time that God had been orchestrating for years and years, behind the scenes, everything happened in one day. He goes from prisoner to prince. And then Joseph goes, this is what you meant when you gave me those dreams when I was 15. Right? Hindsight. Right? There was no other way for him to get there, but God made this incredible thing happen where God gives Pharaoh a dream, and guess what? There's only one person in the kingdom who can properly interpret this thing for you. He happens to be in your prison cells. But I've been grooming him for this day his whole life. Isn't that great? It's great. It's great when the day comes, isn't it? Yeah. It's great. So, I want you to think about where you're at, what you're in right now. What are you going through that you didn't ask for? See, I didn't ask for this. I didn't pray for this. I don't think I prayed for this. Careful what you pray for, by the way. Just saying. Yes? Give me peace, Lord. Yeah, here comes a storm. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Give me patience, Lord. Okay, here's kids. careful what you pray for. God, give me the desires of your heart. Okay. Pit. What? There's a why. I promise you there's a reason. But that's faith. It takes faith to even say that and actually believe it. But I want you to think about what you're in. What are you in right now? What space are you in right now that you didn't sign up for? You know that you haven't done any major sort of failing thing, and so you're suffering the repercussions, but you're just in a space you didn't count on, that you can't work out. You can't figure out, and God hasn't sort of miraculously come into your bedroom while you're praying and saying, this is why this is happening to you right now. You're just in it, and you're trying and struggling to understand why. The answer to your question is because God's taking you where you need to go. And be still and know that I am God. Right? It's profound and so simple, but hard too. Because you know that your prayer would rather be, God, rescue me right now from this pain, and I promise I will serve you and give you lots of more money, and hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, hallelujah, let's do that. Trust who I'm making you to be, God would say to you. Trust the crafting process. Trust the chiseling away. Trust the, not minutes, not hours, the days, the weeks, the months, the years of formation that it takes for you to become the person that he's called you to be. But here's the good news. No matter what you're in, you're still highly favored. Your circumstances do not dictate how favored you are. Even though people might look at you and say, see, you said you had faith in God. See, you say God is so awesome. Look at your circumstances. What do you say to them? I know that I'm highly favored. I know that God still has a plan for my life. And I get to choose my attitude and my actions. And I'm going to continue to believe no matter what. Here's some good news. 2 days later, that woman woke up out of a coma. My mother was standing in the room with her. She said, do you know who I am? She said, yes. It's Nina. That's my mother's name, obviously. She's talking. A part of her brain is in the freezer. I don't really get how all that works, but a part of her skull is in the freezer for 3 months. Well, she heals, but she's awake. Wow. Isn't that extraordinary? You don't know how the story ends up unless you take the pen, and it will not end well. But if you trust and you keep the pen in his hand, no, I trust you. You keep writing the story. I'll keep being the best that I can be where I am. I'll keep believing in faith beyond what I can see, but in faith for the things that I hope for, the things that have been promised. And one day we will know exactly why we went through what we went through. There's a day coming for all of us where you will be sitting in a room with someone and they will begin to tell you of the storm they're in, and you will have a moment of clarity and you'll say, oh, that's why. That's why I struggled with that 5 years ago. That's why I lost everything, so that I could sit down with this person today and relate to them and tell them that God's greater. Isn't that moment worth it? Yeah. Yes. Isn't that a great thing to be able to do? Or maybe God's going to elevate you into a position at work or whatever, and you will look back and you'll say, oh, God, forgive me for ever doubting you, because I now see your plans and your purposes out working, and I get it. We see it in the life of Joseph. This is a great thing about having the stories in the Bible, is you see this played out from beginning to end. It wouldn't have been easy while they were going through it, I promise. But we have the privilege of seeing the whole story. And it's not one story. Yes, it's not an isolated event that happened, 3,500 years ago. And well, that was the one good story that we have in the Old Testament. We have numerous over and over and over and over again where God took people on a journey they did not plan out, they did not expect, but he always accomplished his will through them by his grace, by his power, and by his supernatural knowledge that we don't have. Do you trust him? Do you trust him with what you're in right now? Or have you doubted? Have you faltered? Has hopelessness set in? Has your attitude changed? Have you allowed your circumstances to make you who you are instead of believing and letting God make you who you are? And this is what I believe all of this morning was about. What are you going to do with what you're in? What are you going to choose to believe? What actions do you need to take to show the whole world around you that I'm highly favored? How does that reflect out in your world? How do people see that in the way that you talk? How do people see that in the way that you work? You know, Joseph was a fantastic worker. It was his fruit that made him recognized by Potiphar, and that's why he was elevated to the positions that he was. It wasn't Potiphar sitting praying one day and the Holy Spirit put on his heart to elevate Joseph. No, no. He was just a fantastic servant. Are we being the best that we can be, believing that God has this great story that he's working out in all of us? And we were born for such a time as this. It was not accidental. While I was preparing this, God just put it on my heart. I know that there's some people here who are really struggling. And all this while I'm talking, you know the circumstances or whatever that are consuming you. And I'm so glad you came to church. Because sometimes even that's like I'm not sure. But you're here. Hallelujah. And I just want to create a space, a safe space, for you to be ministered to. I guess to know that you're not alone. You know, it's one thing to hear a truth, and I do pray that you will embrace this. That just because life gets interrupted does not mean that God's not in control. And that's the truth that Joseph hung on to all those years as a slave, all those years as a prisoner. My life is not what I thought it would be, but I know that God is in control. And I just got to sit there and believe that and walk it out. And God worked it out. And God wants to work it out. You've got to believe that. God wants to work out what you're in right now. And so, if you feel comfortable enough, I just want to create a space for people to be prayed for and just be surrounded by a few people that will love you enough to pray with you. We don't need to know any details. This is not about, oh, they're going through something. It's just you're not alone. You're not the first and you won't be the last. But I want you to know that you don't have to walk this alone either. Yeah. Thank God we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. Let's not forsake that. Yeah? So can we all stand? I would get up and play the piano, but that would not help this situation at the moment. So thank you, Brendan. You know who you are. And I mean, in some ways, we're all in this story somewhere, in the story of Joseph. And maybe things are great for you right now, and amen. God bless you, and that's fantastic. But if this is, you know that this is speaking into your circumstance right now, would you just come? Would you feel safe enough to just come and let some of the leaders here and stuff like that pray for you? Just come. Just come. You don't have to wait for anything else. Just come. Thank you. Come on. If you see somebody come up that you know, can you just come and put a hand on their shoulder? Can I tell you, praying is not about saying the right things. So much about prayer is just about being present. Just caring, just putting a hand on a shoulder sometimes is one of the most profound things that we can do as Christians. But let's just begin to pray and believe with our brothers and sisters here, yeah? Let's believe. God, we pray that faith, even this morning, even as these words were being spoken, that faith is being stirred up to believe and start to see beyond the circumstances, however painful they are, however challenging they are. you have to know that God's got you on a journey, that He loves you, He does not hate you. He has not forsaken you. He's not abandoned you. You are highly favored. You are beloved. And God is taking you somewhere unexpected. God is taking you somewhere that you can't see right now, but that you would believe and choose this morning to believe. That if God could take a slave and a prisoner and make him a prince, then God can take my life and my circumstances right now and elevate me at the right time to the right place. God, help us to surrender to the process. God, I pray that we would bring the right people. I pray over every person that came up this morning. I pray, God, that they would see the right people to have in their world, that will come alongside them and be journeymen and women with them. To know that they're not alone, that we do not have to do this on our own. Trustworthy people that they can rely on, to rest on, and walk with. God, I pray over that. I pray that over every single person who came up here this morning. I pray, even right now, in this, there's a release happening, a weight beginning to lift as a truth is beginning to sink in. I pray, God, right now for a release, a weight to sort of be lifted off the shoulders, that I understand that where I am right now is not what I was born for, but I've got to go through this. God, I pray for a courage to rise up and a strength to rise up in my brothers and sisters right now. That they will leave this place this morning walking taller because they know that they're not alone, because they know that this is not an accident, but that God is with you. God is for you, and nothing can stand against you. God, I just pray for a reassurance and their faith to be reassured this morning. They're in the right place today. And God's reminding you of that in His grace and in His mercy. God, give us wisdom and grace to handle the situations we're in. And may everyone around us see that the hand of God rests on us. May they be blessed by us. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.